Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
And welcome to the podcast. This is Brian Thompson, and we're podcasting here from Streams of Many Waters Broadcast Network, and we're happy to be on. It's a beautiful day in Las Vegas today.
Yeah,
it's great. And I'm here in studio with C.K. Thompson. And how are you doing today?
I'm great, Brian. Thank you. It's just really good to see you. I'm so blessed, it's scary. I've got Mike in the studio today. We are going to let her rip. This is a special week. Hi, Mike. I should let you get in a word edgewise. Hello.
Yes. Hi, CK. Oh, it is. It's a glorious week. Lots of good things that the Lord's doing.
Yeah, there's so much activity in the heavenlies, as usual, but wow, what a week. We're just a few days past the 2016 presidential election, and there is a lot happening.
We have a new president-elect.
We do. We have a new president-elect. Deja vu. we're gonna talk about some supernatural things today, which is basically what we do here on Prophets Don't Wear Plaid, which is a joke, folks, if you don't get it. Everybody lighten up. I'll get it out. I've just been rejoicing in the Lord. It's a free country still, and I can do that.
Yes. Praise God. Donald J. Trump, the new president-elect.
Yes. And the Lord spoke to you. He spoke to you, and you put out a video, in fact, already, about the issues of Jezebel, Pharisee. We've been talking about the ruling spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee over our country, and now the Lord is using Donald as the wrecking ball all through this election. Whether he won the election or not, nothing was ever going to be the same again. But tell us about what the Lord told you afterwards.
Yes. Well, as far as afterwards, after the election and after he won, there were, in accordance with the vision that the Lord gave me, and he told me, he's been telling me this for years, actually, and talking about what he called the ruling political spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee.
Yeah.
Ruling connects it with, in Ephesians 6, about the ruling spirits.
Principalities, powers.
Rulers of the darkness of this world.
It's wicked spirits in heavenly,
there you
places.
Go. You got
we'll get it.
Together we'll put it.
We can do it.
And so Jezebel and Pharisee. And I began to realize the amount of power and ruling authority in the spiritual realm in the demonic side of things that they actually have. And so he said after the election that there was going to be a blowback by Jezebel.
Yes, and I do want to point out, and which you have done so well, the spirit, it's a spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Pharisee. It's not the candidate themselves. It's not the person themselves. It's the spirit.
Yeah, it's not a person.
Right.
It's some people are going around calling. Influence, spiritual entities.
There you go.
Behind the scenes that are influencing people, groups of people, philosophies, movements.
Right, because I heard some people calling Hillary Jezebel, and I don't want to go, I don't think that's right. I think we need to, no, she is a human being. And,
exactly.
God loves her, and but she's been under the influence of that spirit of Jezebel, the ruling spirit of Jezebel over our country. So it's not the person, it's the spirit. Just in all fairness, because, you know, a lot of people, obviously half the country did like her, almost half. A lot of people really didn't, and I really, it troubles me to see so much, almost the visceral hate coming from believers, Christians.
Oh, I agree with that.
They should not, you know, don't hate the person.
Yeah, and it is we really have to be careful and not objectify people or minimize their humanity by right. placing labels and titles on. We definitely didn't agree with her policies and a lot of the things that she has done.
Right.
I believe that they were criminal in intent and yes. very selfish, but they were inspired by the spirit of Jezebel. That spirit, ruling spirit, that wanted to gain a controlling influence in American politics.
Yes.
It came into America primarily through the from Europe, and has been building since about at least majorly from the 1980s up, 1990s, then here into the 2000s.
Right,
and getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Oh,
extreme
man.
Liberalism.
Right. That's what that progressive liberal humanism spirit is very, it, in many ways, atheistic, anti-Christ
Definitely.
Spirit. It's
Definitely.
Anti-God's will for America. And it was becoming very anti-Christian, anti-Israel.
Anti-male?
Anti-male, yes, absolutely. It was the emasculating of men,
mm-hmm.
just spiritually. Which is what that spirit of Jezebel
yeah.
did. I mean, that's what when the embodiment of the woman Jezebel in the Old Testament, she did that. She even had eunuchs.
That's right.
She
gender neutralization.
Yeah, all the gender.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Gender neutralization. Jezebel was a Phoenician princess.
Mm-hmm.
She was the daughter of the king of Tyre, and she married Ahab so that the two kings could form an alliance, Ahab being the king of Israel. And she was a priestess in the temple of Baal.
Wow.
Baal worship. Now, Baal, which another name for Baal is Bel, B-E-L, hence Jezebel.
Right.
And but Baal was the counterpart of Jehovah. And he was considered to be the supreme God. The attributes that were attributed to him were things that we would think of that only as the one true God possesses.
So they tried to make a counterfeit.
A counterfeit God.
Mm-hmm. It was just basically just the devil, Satan.
Exactly.
Baal.
In fact, all the way through, you know, and even in the New Testament where it talks about Beelzebub.
Yes.
Baal.
Beelzebub.
So what you got is Jezebel, prophetess of Baal.
Right.
And all of that liberalism. It's
yes.
anti-Christ. That's what I was trying to key off of right there.
And the other ruling spirit over the country was Pharisee. And they're still, okay, the Lord's showing us a lot. Okay, you guys got to get used to us if you're not, because we speak in a lot of terminologies that people, we have to take the time to explain. Some people think, wait, is that literal? No. We're referring to spirits. Jesus did that as well. In the book of Revelations, he spoke of, and I'm looking it up real quick, because Brian usually did this for me, and he will be back and help me do some more of this. He took off. Thanks. Are you coming back? Well, yes. Jesus spoke of Jezebel in the book of Revelations, and he was saying to the angel of the church in Thyatira, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. And then it goes on to talk about the kind of judgment that's coming upon her and those who commit adultery with her, unless they repent of their deeds. So Jesus himself referred to her as Jezebel, that spirit. He called it, you allow that woman Jezebel.
Yes.
He was talking about the spirit of Jezebel. And so we've heard people even say to us, oh, there's no such thing as a Jezebel spirit. Well, Jesus, you know, he spoke about it himself. It's absolutely there is. We were praying about, as we were coming up on the election, like, okay, Lord, what's next? Now what? And the Lord said to you, in fact, I wrote it down when you said it. You said, get ready for blowback from Jezebel.
Yes.
Get ready.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she got trounced publicly, so to speak.
Yes, she did.
Through the election.
Yep.
But
the eunuchs threw her over the balcony. The problem is that the horses have not trampled her to death yet. I know, the analogy only goes so far, and then you kind of lose it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the Lord spoke to me about the spirit of Pharisee. See, now, the spirit of Pharisee is on the far right. It's the, oh, man, he told me back in 2007, actually, it was earlier than that. He told me, I've got it written down that I could tell you, that he was bringing down the leaders of the religious right.
Mm-hmm.
Not only had they served their purpose, but they had allowed Pharisee, the spirit of Pharisee, in to take over. And they were being run and influenced by the spirit of Pharisee, which was bullying and religious. See, now we're talking about a different one. Jezebel doesn't even claim to be a Christian. She's a high priest of Baal.
Yes.
She's a pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Pharisee is religious. He's a legalist. And he believes he's right, and he likes to have control over the people. I'm talking about the spirit. And he loves to control and manipulate people with the word of God and with legalism and even man-made laws that sound really good, but they may be good, but they're not God. And he just, his thing's about power. Power. That's why the Pharisees confronted Jesus. They did not like Jesus because he threatened their power over the people, over the masses. That the people
yes.
loved Jesus so much, and they loved the words, his heart. They loved the anointing they were feeling. They had never experienced anything like it, being around Jesus. And the Pharisees were so threatened because they had absolute control over the people. And Jesus came along and just blew their control out of the water. And so that's that spirit. And it's really gotten bad in politics. I mean, Pharisee is in the church world. People need to realize that legalism and what we call religiosity, religionism, it's not an anti-church thing. It's an anti-legalism thing. Religion, when I say religion, I'm not talking about people's churches. I'm not trying to put down anyone's church or any of that. But just to be clear. But there are spirits of religion that are connected with Pharisee and legalism. And it's actually, legalism was born in the Garden of Eden through Satan. The devil, the serpent. The serpent brought the spirit of religion. He brought legalism in to the earth through the curse. That's how he deceived Eve. He talked her into doubting what God said. Hath God said?
Mm-hmm.
God said, don't eat of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. Now, when she talked to the devil, the serpent, in the garden, she said, he told us not to eat of that tree. In fact, he told us not to even touch it. So she was...
right.
She said even more than what God told her. But the allure, the fascination, that seducing spirit in the serpent was the spirit of legalism. And
true.
He told her that, you know, hey, God just doesn't want you to be as good as he is. You could be better. You can be like God if you want, if you would just eat out of this tree. He's trying to keep you down. He's trying to, you know, he lied about God.
Yes.
And so she was thinking, oh, and there's so many Christians do that now. You're like, oh, I've got to be better. I'm not good enough. The blood of Jesus isn't good enough. The new creation isn't good enough. What Jesus did for me, I'm not good enough. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I've got to keep this rule and that rule and all these things in order to be good enough, because the finished work of the cross wasn't quite good enough. That was basically the attitude that the enemy sowed into Eve in
That's
the garden,
right.
That she wasn't quite good enough. See, when God created her, God created Adam and Eve, he called them good. Now, when God calls something good,
it's good.
It's good. So for her to even question whether she was good enough, that's the beginning of legalism. Like, okay, wait a minute. There's a doubt in her heart. God said I was good, but someone else here is saying I could be better. So she fell for it.
And that's falling. She fell for the idea that she could do something in the physical realm by her own self to
yes.
make herself better than what God had created her to be.
Better than she already was created.
Yeah.
And that's when the serpent and the spirit of religion hooked up. And so people need to realize what we say, oh, that's just religion and, you know, go out in the world and it's different. No, it came from the world. Legalism came from the devil. Legalism is the system of hell. That's how hell operates, is by legalism.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven operates by grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's methodology, grace. And they were living in grace in the Garden of Eden until the devil brought legalism in there and destroyed their beautiful home, destroyed their lives, their destiny. They chose to believe a lie, and that's why they sinned.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what's interesting about all of that, when you bring that into the political structure and in the United States and what's going on right now,
yeah.
is that Pharisee on the far right is very controlling and manipulative.
Yeah, and that was my point too.
Yeah,
thank you, because that's what's in the church world.
Yes,
it's legalism in religious garb, and so therefore people think that that's how God is, when it's actually a spirit of Pharisee. It's a spirit of religionism, and it just shuts people down and turns off the lights in their heart. It manipulates and controls them with fear that they can't keep all the rules. So now you put that in the larger sphere of the ruling spirits over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of Pharisee was taking over the religious right.
Yeah, so both Pharisee and also Jezebel are elitist spirits.
Yes. Oh, that's it.
And they don't consider that the general population is good enough, smart enough, intelligent enough, talented enough, or anything else enough to have a say-so over their own lives. So as elitists, they must make all of the rules.
Yeah.
So for Jezebel, it's anything goes, liberalism. And for Pharisee, it's the rule of the iron fist. It's the
mm-hmm.
dictates of what we
right.
want.
Right. With the threat of punishment if you can't keep all the rules, or banishment or something.
Mm-hmm.
Disqualifying. Lots of disqualifying.
Yes.
In that Pharisee spirit. And you see it in churches all over the place. People just, they just come in week after week hungry for God and go home feeling disqualified. I'll never be good enough to be able to do what I'm called to do. And anybody listening right now, if you're still with us,
they're still with us.
We've been kind of all over the map here, but I want to encourage you that the blood of Jesus qualified you, and don't let any Pharisaic, religious, legalistic demon, I don't care how sweet they are to your face, do not allow them to disqualify you for the blessing of God and for all the destiny that God has planned for your life. Jesus died and shed his blood for you, and not just so you could just barely get in by the skin of your teeth and then bow down to what everybody else wants you to do, but he created you as we are a kingdom of priests, and he created you with a powerful destiny, and you are not disqualified. It's the blood of Jesus that qualifies you, and that's on a personal level, and people need to realize that, because we get to talking about all this stuff in politics or in the church world, and people need to realize how it affects them personally.
That's right.
God loves you. He trusts you with the anointing he gave you when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. And if there's anyone listening right now who has not asked Jesus into your life, Just do it. Just pray the prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. Save me. Take over. I give you my life. I give you my heart. That's the number one thing you got to do. And that restores and the relationship between God and man. And I want to say man, I always have to make this disclaimer. God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them.
Right.
Man or mankind. Man is species, not gender. When God says man, he's talking to man and female and male. So it doesn't matter to God.
That's a good word.
There's no male or female in the spirit.
That's right.
So man applies to you, ladies. You are blessed and your destiny matters. And say, okay, God, the blood of Jesus has qualified you. So allow Jesus into your life. Ask him to come in and just ask him to do what he wants to do in you. And watch your entire life change. The love of God, the love of Jesus in your heart. I mean, it just changes everything.
Yes.
And how you see everything. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, and praying in tongues, and yet I know, that sounds almost controversial. But I'm not going to hold back. I let her rip. Mm-hmm. If you really want to operate in spiritual things to the degree that the Lord wants you to, then you need to be open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and allow him to flow through you by the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. The more you pray in tongues, the heavenly prayer language, you are not only edifying your own spirit is being built up and strengthened in your faith, but it develops your ability to hear in the spirit. It develops your ability to understand spiritual things.
Yes.
And to hear the voice of God and to understand the word of God in ways we never thought. And it gives you power to live the life and the power to be witnesses of Jesus. It gives you boldness that you never thought you had. And so people need, I'm throwing in asides all the time, but
it's so important because people need to know that.
They need to, yeah, they do.
And you know, they may need to know that in the all of the people who are Christians on the face of the earth right now, there are more people who speak in tongues than who don't.
Exactly. Over 50% of the Christians mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. are tongue talkers.
Yeah. And verifiable facts.
That's absolutely. The most important thing you need to know is that the blood of Jesus qualifies you. And you don't have to have the approval of Pharisee, of the spirit of Pharisee. You don't have to try it. You don't have to live up to man-made standards that no one can live up to. Jesus fulfilled the law for us, and Jesus is good enough. The blood of Jesus has qualified you. And so I wanted to make that clear. And so when we talk about Pharisee, this is part of the calling of God on our life. Man, for 40 years, are taking a stand against the spirit of religionism, because it has kept so many people in bondage and out of their destiny.
That's true.
They spend their lives trying to be good enough just to even be there, you know, and trying to get into heaven. And it's horrible. So then when you get that ruling spirit over your country, and that's what happened with the religious right.
That's right.
The spirit of Pharisee took over. And the biggie there, too, is that most of the leaders of the religious right were people who do not believe in speaking in tongues or the baptism of the Holy Spirit back then. They didn't believe in those things. Right. God used them, you know, the moral majority and all that, but they didn't believe in those supernatural things. But here's the difference. We have come upon a season where God is now, this is the first election. This is historic on so many levels, but it's the very first election that God used apostles and especially prophets, tongue-talking prophets, to usher in the president of the United States. That's why he had to bring down the leaders of the religious right, because they were part of the problem. Mm-hmm. They became so pharisaical. They were no longer hearing the heart of God. Mm-hmm. And according to Pharisee, and that spirit of Pharisee, they didn't like Donald Trump either.
No, the never Trumpers and those kind of people. They, it had ingrained, Pharisee had ingrained into politics to mm-hmm. the point that they felt that they had to be the keepers of the pure political agenda.
Exactly. Yes, and to the point that they would not hear God the same way. And honestly, it's like the Pharisees that Jesus confronted. Those Pharisees that confronted, you know, they were so angry with Jesus, and then he called them whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones and brood of vipers, and he called them names. And just remember, Jesus didn't sin. He never sinned. But he confronted them, and he confronted them publicly so that the people would know the truth, so they could trust their own heart about it, and that spirit, those men, and they were all men. They didn't believe the female man was allowed to do that either. Okay, but they were sincerely waiting for their Messiah. They were waiting, but they had it all figured out in their head what it was going to look like when he showed up. And so when they were standing there face to face with him, they did not recognize their Messiah and ultimately crucified him. I mean, and that same spirit was on the religious right, and that spirit of Pharisee in the United States. We were praying for revival, praying for God to raise up, you know, godliness in our country, bring back righteousness, take down the corruption in the government, and restore our country to the principles of not only godly, righteous principles, but the destiny that God spoke over our country and promised to the founders of America. That's whether it. People like it or not, it was founded on not only on Christian principles, but God made covenant with those people. And yes, he has a destiny for our country, and he's keeping his word. But those guys, that spirit, did not recognize when God brought in the wrecking ball. They didn't recognize what God was doing anymore, even though they sincerely wanted the Lord to bring righteousness. They wanted him to do it their way. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they became so legalistic and hard-nosed and hard-hearted was the biggie part. And the leaders of the religious right were just falling right and left, either passing away because they got old, died, but God wasn't raising any new ones up because he wanted spirit-filled people in those positions. And it's a spiritual position over the country. It's not a political position.
Right.
He wants people, he wants spirit-filled people that are decreeing the edicts of God over America.
Yes.
His prophets.
Yes.
This is a first. This is a first.
It is.
Prophets are the ones that stood up and declared, I have seen a thing. I mean, and we were just blown away. Mike, you had visions about Donald Trump. It blew you away because God showed you mm-hmm. Donald Trump, and you were almost like, I watched you freaking out. What do I do?
Uh-huh.
Because the Lord called upon you to tell the people.
Yeah, he gave me visions and then made me tell.
Yeah. And it was hard at first.
It was at first, yeah, because I didn't want to get mixed up in the political agendas.
Yeah.
So forth, the way that so many pastors feel because, you know,
yeah,
they get hammered and persecuted and they don't want to use their position to manipulate people. But when God does it and he says, you obey him. Period.
Absolutely. And I was watching, because then you put out several other videos since the one you put out a video in April, on April 7th,
mm-hmm.
2016, when the angel stood beside you in a prayer meeting and told you about the dogs of hell had been released against the man, the candidate with the hand of the Lord upon him.
Yes.
And then he told you about he showed you Donald Trump. And after you struggled wrestled with the Lord for a few days, you uh-huh. went ahead and told and put out a video about it. And you basically went public with your personal struggle to tell the people what you saw.
Yes.
That video to this day, I mean, it's got over, like for us, this is kind of a big deal. It has over 200,000 views at this point, if you put, you know, between YouTube and Facebook.
Yes.
But, it helped a lot of people to watch your struggle. There's some people that called you a weak prophet, you know, mm-hmm. because you didn't come right out and say, thus saith the Lord. But you would refuse. You refused to say anything God didn't say.
mm-hmm.
But it helped a lot of people who had the same struggle.
Yes, which I think was the bulk of the people.
Most of them. Yeah, mm-hmm. It helped people catch what God was doing. And then after that, I was watching your videos, and then you've had so many visions about, I mean, outright visions about Donald Trump since then. And I was watching the videos, and you kept getting bolder and bolder and bolder, and you ended up with one called Why I'm Offended at Hillary Clinton, talking about the agenda of the left, Jezebel's agenda to emasculate men in America.
Yes.
And try to make them politically correct.
Correct. That's right.
So it's been an amazing journey. And man, there's so much we want to put in. I want to pack so much into this podcast that I don't think I'm going to have time. Okay, here's the point. As we were coming up on the election, we were asking the Lord, okay, what next? What next?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told you to watch out for the blowback from Jezebel.
Right.
She's going to try to get in another way. Mm-hmm. And see, I was going to go into the dream about that I had back in 2012 about Obama taking on the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. And I didn't get a chance to on this podcast. But I do want to note that the very day, and I saw the swirling of angels that were, you know, just a fury of angels in the heavens slashing. I mean, it was warfare big time. When the Lord said that, you know, he was building an image to himself like Nebuchadnezzar, President Obama held back God's agenda and brought a spirit of poverty on our country. Mm-hmm. And see, I was going to tell all about this. No, I'm telling.
Yeah, you're kind of giving them teasers.
Maybe on the next
podcast.
Because I've got them written out here. And when I look back and read it, I'm just amazed at what the Lord has done and how true it turned out to be. Because at the time, like, I wasn't hearing anybody else saying these things, that he took on that spirit. But it also held back the last day's transfer of wealth. It brought spirit of poverty on our country and held back the wealth that God intended to pour out on his people, the prosperity, godly prosperity.
Yes. Entitlements are not prosperity.
No, that's not prosperity. And he brought fear on our country. But that spirit of Nebuchadnezzar and building that image, the Lord was even showing me last week that the image came tumbling down. I have an angel that opens my Bible. I've talked about it before. And last week, he kept opening my Bible to the book of Daniel, but it was a different place than the place on, in this other dream.
I know, you want to preach the whole thing.
I know, I don't have time.
We're going to have to do it as a part two.
But I got to tell him this.
Yeah, do it.
My Bible kept opening up to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children who refused to bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had built.
Yes.
They refused. And it was, they were required, everyone was required, at the sound of the music, it was like Hollywood, mm-hmm. at the sound of...
The media.
The sound, when they start playing the music, everyone should bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And if they didn't, they would be cast into the fiery furnace. And that threat had been over the Christians in our country and over Israel.
Yes.
Obama's heart was really angry at Israel for not bowing down to him.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
They would not kiss his ring. And he didn't like that. But the Lord kept bringing it back to me last week. And I would turn the page to the other reference that the Lord had used before, and then I would turn back, and it would be back to this other place. I'm like, what? Why? He said, because the Christians in America, this time around, they stood up.
That's right.
They stood up like the three Hebrew children, and they refused to bow down to that image.
Oh, that's it.
Look what the Lord has done.
Oh, it's marvelous. Marvelous, yeah. In our eyes, in the Lord's eyes. There are many Christians, I'm sad to say, that just actually don't have much discernment and about spiritual things, and they went the other direction. But it is absolutely the first time in our lives, CK, that we have seen the church unify to such degree where they would stand up together, they would heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, the call
yes.
to resistance against the enemy and to pursue this spiritual warfare. And across the board,
yep.
the church stood up.
They did.
You're talking about Catholics and Protestants together. Mm-hmm. You're talking about what we would call, you know, spirit-filled and non-spirit-filled
yeah,
churches together.
The charismatic church, the Baptist church. I mean, didn't matter.
Yeah. Talking about much of traditional churches and untraditional churches.
And the Lord gave us prayer strategies that everyone could pray together in agreement.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he was so wise because he got everyone into agreement.
Uh-huh.
Even though they didn't agree on all their doctrine and theology, they all could agree in this prayer.
Right.
And look what the Lord has done.
Yes.
They said for at least 81% of the evangelicals came out and voted. And that's the highest percentage ever.
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I can tell you that it's a fact that that's the highest percentage, I think, since the middle to the late 1800s.
Wow. That's amazing. And so one of the point that the Lord said, just to highlight, he said, get ready for blowback from Jezebel. So in other words, just keep the spiritual confrontation going on. We were mm-hmm. talking about this is the Jewish year of 5777.
Uh-huh.
And the year of the sword of the Lord.
Yes.
And the sword of the Lord is the anointing of God on godly confrontation.
Yes.
And that's what's happening right now. So you keep the pressure on. The confrontation is not a one-time event. It is a process, and you have to keep the door closed, keep the pressure on in prayer. And so that prayer that we put out on the website, we tweaked it a little bit. We might tweak it a little more but keep praying it. I mean, it still applies.
That's right.
And keep the pressure on in the spirit, because we will not allow Jezebel to come back in and gain a foothold in our country again.
That is true.
Will not.
She's wounded, but not dead. You can't kill a spirit, but you can paralyze its influence and control.
Yes, that's right. And the other issue, the spirit of Pharisee,
mm-hmm.
he's gone underground.
That's it.
He became extremely embarrassed by what happened in this election, and there was a bunch of them that got exposed as Pharisees.
Yes.
And they're embarrassed. So now they're trying to, you know, get in there and get cozy with our president-elect. And I'm very, pray for Donald Trump. That's the
yes.
biggie. The wisdom of God on that man. He is Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Pence is Elisha. And oh man, there's so much about this. Elijah was the wrecking ball. He's the one that killed the prophets of Baal. He went in and he called fire down.
That's right.
To consume. I mean, he ran. That man, he tore Jezebel practically a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But Elisha came along. He opened the door for Elisha to come along. And he was the prophet that comforted the people. He was pastoral and lived with the people. Elijah was out in the wilderness. Not a hugely likable guy, but powerful.
And Elijah came, not much history about him. He came out of nowhere. He didn't come from the traditional system.
That's right.
He was the fiery prophet. He was the powerful prophet.
He's the one that made people squirm.
Uh-huh. That's right.
He was a passionate guy.
That's it.
And Elisha was...
He came from a knowledgeable base. They knew his heritage, his parents.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he came for it. He was the pastoral prophet.
Yeah. But he also did twice as much. He did.
He did twice the
works that Elijah did.
He duplicated Elijah's miracles and then went past that.
Yeah. And you know what I see? And I pray, I'm seeing clearly. But, you know, prayer, continued prayer keeps these things, you know, God's will. I see 8 years of Trump and then 8 years of Pence. You're like, Lord, let it be. And God is setting our country uh-huh. back on track. Mike Pence was God's man under the radar. And there's no way he could have gotten in there without the wrecking ball.
True.
Because Pharisee wouldn't have let him. We're talking about a very godly man.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just outward, openly a believer in Jesus Christ. And he, I mean, his first words were, glory to God. He's a believer, man.
That's right.
And so pray for wisdom for our president-elect, and also that every maneuver of Pharisee to manipulate Donald Trump will be exposed, because that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to manipulate him. Okay, well, now you won, so now you got to calm it down and let's, you know, get in here, and you're going to have to work with us. You're going to have to, you know, put out and extend the olive branch. And like, I'm like, why? Seems to me you guys need to be extending the olive branch, not him.
Mm-hmm.
He got there by doing what God told him to do, by being who he was. And I'm like, don't fall for it, Donald. Don't try to bring, don't tone it down. You be you. God needs him to be him. And those other guys are trying to get him, you know.
Yeah.
Let's all just, you know, sing kumbaya around the fire. Mm-hmm. Nope. It's not going to go that way. And so that's what Pharisee. So if you see, you know, there's still Republicans that, they are just beside themselves. They were going to throw the election so that they could try to take it in 4 years. And mm-hmm. it blew up in their face.
Uh-huh.
And so, and so they're going to play nice, make nice, so that they can get it, their power back somehow, or manipulate him into doing what they want. So yeah. Wisdom to Trump and death to Pharisees. Well, I didn't get to say nearly the things I wanted to, but we probably should bring this one to a close, eh?
Yep. We had fun, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
There's a lot of good information there. And I think, from my standpoint, two things that I want the people to really remember. As we talk about these things, we're prophets.
Right.
And so we use prophet lingo.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's two important things. Number one is that we believe in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in pastors. We
yes.
believe in the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of good ones out there, just like there are some of those that are controlled by Pharisee and or Jezebel to some yeah. degree.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you can find a good one to attend, a good spirit-filled church with a loving pastor that won't manipulate you. They're
That's
out
right.
there.
They are.
You can find it.
Yes.
And the second thing I wanted to reemphasize is, again, we are talking about spiritual influences. Many times when people use the terms demons or spirits, they are that. The Bible mm-hmm. uses those terms. I like to bring up that they are influences or influencers, I call them, because they influence thinking. They influence morals. They influence people to do things. And so that's what we're talking about, not the people themselves.
Right. That's right.
But the influence. So we attack in the spirit.
Right.
We use our authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us in the spirit to
yes.
take care of those things in the spirit, so that it will shift spiritual, heavenly things and then manifest in earthly things. And that's what's happened through this election.
That, exactly right. And the key. The Lord said that this election was the key. This was like the last piece of the puzzle as revival touches down in the United States of America. And ultimately, that
oh, yes.
is what this is all about.
Yes.
It's really about revival, not politics. The Lord showed you
mm-hmm.
and many others. Revival has been hanging in the atmosphere over America. And that includes Canada. That includes, I mean,
yes.
It's a major revival hanging in the atmosphere, and the believers have not been able to see it because of the fog, because of this spiritual activity going on. And the Lord has called upon the prophets and the prophetic people to bring that revival, because souls are in the balance over this whole thing.
That's right.
We are going to see a harvest of souls. That spirit of revival,
yes,
when it comes,
yes.
it takes on a life of its own. So don't get nervous about what you got to do. Just yield to the Spirit of God, because he's the one that's all he's looking for. He's the one that does it. but everything is ready for revival to bust loose in the United States. And God is taking back America. He's taking back America. He's taking back the hearts of the people and introducing himself to those who don't know him yet and reintroducing himself to the church.
Yes.
And this is an amazing day to be alive.
It is amazing.
What an honor.
It is. You know, my final exhortation to the people is walk in love.
That's it.
Stay in love. Walk in love.
Yeah.
As long as you walk in love, you and the Holy Spirit choose your battles and how they're to be fought. But when you get out of love, the devil chooses those things for you.
Stay in love. That's right. And I know I've had people accuse us of not being very loving by simply speaking what God told us to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what prophets have to do. I'm responsible to him, and out of my love for him and the people, I'll say it. And I don't know, I'm pretty passionate. I get out there and say it pretty passionately.
But most people want that kind of honesty.
They do, and it wakes up their hearts.
Yes.
There's an anointing on that. This is our day. If you're prophetic at all, if you want to be prophetic at all, this is your time. This is going to be one of the most exciting times, probably the most exciting time on planet Earth. And there are actually new angels being dispatched for this season. It's amazing. I'm so blessed to be part of it. We are a blessed country much more than we realize.
Yes.
God loves you. And I want to thank everyone. Mike, I want to thank you for being here today. And thank you, Brian. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we appreciate you so much. All the listeners out there, God bless you. Remember how much God loves you. Never forget how deeply loved you are. Never forget what a powerful destiny that God has given you. Yes, you. And also thank the Streams of Many Waters Podcasting Network. Wonderful people there. We love you guys. We're very honored to be part of this network. And God bless you. And we'll talk to you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.